You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. With more than 30 weekly podcasts, HRN has something for every food lover. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This week on Meat and Three from HRN, we're dissecting the mojito, one ingredient at a time.
Because it's fizzy water and it's different to other waters we've seen, it must cure something.
I actually hadn't heard that Sir Francis Drake story before, but it was so typical it had me rolling my eyes over here.
There was no other substance around where you could get so much booze per buck.
Tune in to Meat and Three wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of Agave Road Trip is brought to you by Mezcal Ultramundo. Ultramundo is a mezcal brand owned by a family without any real historic connections to mezcal heritage. Instead, their connection is to nature. They own a 24,000-acre ranch that has been used to graze cattle. It's a beautiful wild place. Everywhere you turn, it's a sea of quiotes. Fresh quiotes, old quiotes, fallen quiotes, just sprouting quiotes, and specifically from Maguey Lamparillo, a variety that takes something like 15 to 18 years to reach maturity. Now, there's a lot to talk about with this brand, but I'm reluctant to do that because whatever I say will divert your attention from what I believe is the truly important story, those 24,000 acres of wild agave. You know, we spend a lot of time in this industry talking about sustainability, but the truth is, any spirit being shipped out of the community in which it's made isn't truly sustainable. The fossil fuels needed to make the glass bottles and to physically ship them aren't sustainable. So, no brand of spirit you're drinking is truly sustainable. I tend to instead look for practices that move us as an industry, move us as a species closer to sustainability. And Ultramundo's harvesting practices are a great example of exactly that. The experts who visited their ranch have suggested that so long as they limit their annual harvest to no more than 80% of what reaches maturity, they'll have a self-sustaining supply of this long-growth agave. Every time I return to Oaxaca, more and more of it is monoculture espadine. Row after row after row of these farmed agave are replacing wildlands where so many diverse plants once thrived alongside so many diverse insects, animals, and bacteria. And I get it. I understand why that happens. And I'm not suggesting we should all stop drinking Oaxacan espadine, but I am saying we need to see more projects like Ultramundo, projects that preserve the biodiversity of our planet. Ultramundo is available now in the USA, everywhere via mail order for consumers, and at wholesale in California for bars, restaurants, and liquor stores. If you believe in preserving wildlands and believe in preserving biodiversity, but still want to drink delicious mezcal, please give Ultramundo a try. Learn more at ultramundo.mx. That's ultramundo.mx. So much of what we do creates a carbon wake that is, given the structure of our modern world, nearly unavoidable. But we can minimize that wake by making diverse choices. I'm Luke Bank.
I am Chava Periwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits in rural Mexico. And this, although this is so far away from when Chava and I were at Art Basel or Basel, I don't know what it is, in Miami.
Basel.
It's Basel?
Actually, not very sure.
Okay.
It's in Switzerland.
Yeah. Okay, we're recording this in our car at Art Basel in Miami. In what month is this? In November? No, this is December now. In December of 2021. But you're listening to this in October of 2022. And so, if it sounds weirder to you than the episode the week before and the week after, that's why we're
car. If we're still existing in 22.
Oh, we will exist.
Oh, really?
Well, okay, you'll exist. You know, my cardiologist today told me he thinks I'll exist.
Yeah, he congratulated you and stuff.
He did. It was
said,
good.
Yeah, you were a good kid. Yeah, you're not an image and stuff.
Yeah, okay. I got it, yeah. So here's what I want to talk about today, Chava.
Okay, sure.
What I want to talk about is if I'm a Gringex bartender and I want to do something special for Thanksgiving and I want to host my Thanksgiving, you know where I'm going?
Yeah.
I want to host my Thanksgiving in Mexico City.
Hmm.
I want to do a little like, this is how you do it. So are you ready?
Okay,
are you ready? So the first thing you got to think about,
you're gonna
if
give
it's
me
Thanksgiving,
so shit.
Yes, the first thing that you want to think about when it comes to Thanksgiving is what, Chava?
The turkey.
And I suggest that if you want to source a proper turkey, you should find a proper Mexican.
Wait. Okay, so you're going to tell the story in which I called a fancy butcher's house
in Polanco.
Polanco? What would be the equivalent to Polanco in, I don't know, like New York or Chicago or something like that?
Let's see. So I'm gonna say, let's look at Chicago, because I know it better. Yeah, I'd say it's like you're basically going to the Gold Coast of Chicago.
In terms of Tokyo, it's the Roppongi from Tokyo. Okay. Yeah, sure.
So so you're going to the richest area you can to source your turkey.
Because I don't cook. So when other people cook, what I think is they want some fancy ingredients that I don't understand.
So I
go to Google Maps and
So my point, Gringex bartenders, is if you decide you want to do this, don't ask somebody like Chava, because he'll end up getting you a frozen turkey.
Well, no.
Of turkeys. How much turkey do they have? So much turkey that they will distill mezcal through it, Chava.
Yes, but I was also very busy that week. I needed somewhere
blah,
that I could call.
Blah, blah, blah.
But what happened then?
Okay, so then I'm like, Chava, what are you? Mexican? Let me show you how to be Mexican, Chava. And I take Chava to the Mercado.
You did not take me. I sent you a Google Maps link, and I met you at the Mercado.
So I took Chava to a Mercado. You didn't send me that. I had that link before I even talked to you.
Before you ever met me, yeah, sure.
Before I ever met you, that's right. And, you know, and to be fair, I picked the most touristy Mercado I could. Mercado de San Juan is totally touristy.
It can be touristy.
I'm not saying it's bad. There's some really cool stuff in there, but it's touristy.
It is sort of.
They have
touristy.
Signs up saying "Don't take pictures of our kangaroo meat without asking."
Yes.
Don't take pictures of the tarantulas you can buy if you want a tarantula stuffing. Anyway, so we go there, and there are a couple of different booths where they literally have these like 25-pound turkeys upside down, like just plucked and ready to go head on, feet on. I had a photo to this post. So that if that's what's like, if you want a turkey, you go there, you buy it by the kilo, not the pound.
Yeah.
And then they ask you, do you want to keep the feet on and the head on?
Which I honestly thought you were going to want to have on.
I thought about that, but then I thought about my beautiful wife, Connie Bank. Hopefully she's still my wife by the time this episode airs.
Okay.
Yeah. And I, like, she's a vegan. And she's like, I'm a vegan because my cardiologist says so. She's a vegan because she really loves animals. And I thought the last thing I want to do is to have her look at this head on the turkey.
Anyway, so, again, I don't know anything about this. So they prepare it, they put it all together, they take, they do whatever sort of pre-preparation that you want for it. And then, honestly, that's the end of my advice. Like,
you did everything else. Yeah. Like, the biggest piece of advice is, like, find a if you want to cook everything yourself, right? Like, and I get that because I'm a guy who really, like, I don't love cooking, but I love satisfying people with my ability to cook, right? Like, I love bringing joy to people. You can't tell that through agave road trip.
That came across weirdly.
How do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just saying that came across weirdly.
I don't like to cook. I really love bringing joy to people through cooking.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah.
Anyway. Find a posada where they've got a kitchen and clear it with them, and you can cook, you know. But the thing is, and here's the thing we found out the hard way, like our friends Damian and Raquel from El Tigre Mezcal, they offered us their house to cook in, which is great, and they had a great oven. Like, it was like, it's not a commercial oven, but it was as close as you could get to a commercial oven at a home.
It looked extremely nice. I can say that.
Yeah, five burners, beautiful. But the problem was, I realized with this 25-pound turkey, after we had it literally overnight, it was with a dry rub, so it was brining. I realized if we cook the turkey in that oven, it's going to tie up the oven for 6 to 8 hours, as big as this thing was. And then there was nothing else you could put in there. So that morning,
Oh, yeah. That morning, I get a emergency call of Luban telling me my wife is going to divorce me if I spend 8 hours cooking this turkey. We need to improvise.
Right.
And when you told me that, I honestly, the first thing that I thought was like, let's just get some pastor tacos and that's it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. As the guy who didn't grow up with a Thanksgiving turkey, you said pastor tacos. Yeah. El pastor tacos. So my thought was el pinche, well, yeah, El Pinche Gringo barbecue. Is that, did I say it? Is that right? Pinche Gringo. Pinche Gringo.
El Pinche
barbecue.
Gringo, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a small chain of really good barbecue joints in Mexico City, and they sell whole turkeys that they've smoked for 10 hours. And even better, we found this out the hard way, number one, make sure like you talk to them and get it down. Like we talked to them on the phone a few times and then we showed up and they said, no, we have no turkeys. But they did. We just had to yell at them for a
bit. We did not yell at them. We very politely
did we? You looked like you were getting a little bit loo on them. No,
I just talked strongly in a normal way. Oh yeah.
But they eventually sold us this beautiful turkey that was probably like 18 pounds smoked and it was vacuum sealed. So we were able to put it into a sous vide, the warm water bath, and I brought my sous vide figuring that this might happen.
Okay, I just want a fine point about this.
Yeah, shoot.
The raw turkey at the market, how much money was it?
So I think it came out to somewhere around $40 to $45 for the 25-pound turkey.
Okay, and the other one, how much was it?
Oh, I have no recollection.
I think it was like $150.
Cooked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
So
it's going to cost you a lot more. But here's the other thing is when you walk through that market, there were some guys selling cooked turkeys. Now, they're not going to be vacuum sealed the way this one was. But I bet you could also talk to these guys. You show up early enough, you pay them in advance. They would cook that big turkey for you and you just arrange to pick it up an hour before your meal and you're good to go.
Okay, so I think the other part of this this episode is there's not only the turkey, but it's the sides.
Yeah, yeah, very important, the sides.
Okay, and you check this over. I have no idea what I'm going to say about this.
So, yeah, in my view of Thanksgiving, and everybody has a different view of Thanksgiving, but with my view of Thanksgiving, the number one side, if you've got a great turkey, everything else can be garbage, right? And you'll be fine. Everybody will still be happy. But the next thing that you got to think about is that stuffing, right? And so when we were at the Mercado buying up the turkeys, we also found a guy who had these beautiful morels. And so we bought a ton of morels and we cooked those in olive oil. And we got all the other ingredients that you'd have. But here's the thing. We made two different versions of the stuffing. One version was using like standard bread that we bought at that Mercado. But the other version, we cut up and we toasted conchas. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, do you have a gringo name for that, right?
Conchas? I think we call them conchas.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, whatever. So that pastry that looks like, what does it look like? It has like a bun.
It looks like a seashell.
Well, yeah, there you go. I like that, a seashell. And so we chopped that up and we toasted it. We used that as the basis for the other stuffing. I got to say, the side-by-side tasting, exact same ingredients in both, right?
Yeah. It was nice.
It was very, very pretty.
And I have to say, this was my first Thanksgiving dinner in my life.
And as
opposed that I am to a lot of the gringo traditions, I have to admit this is a good one. It was great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, the day before or 2 days before, Gary Nabhan had sent out an email to some folks, including me, referring to Thanksgiving as, he didn't refer to it, but he said a lot of his friends who are of indigenous origins in the Americas refer to it as no Thanksgiving, which I get, right? I really get the feeling of betrayal and thievery around the Thanksgiving tradition. And I might feel differently if I had the same thing happen to my family, frankly.
Yeah.
Right. But I got to say, the thing that I love about Thanksgiving, if you can pull it out of that context, is sort of the same thing that I love about Dia de los Muertos.
Which is
that it's, in both cases, to me, it's a celebration, or could be, I shouldn't say should be. For me, they're both celebrations that are about gratitude. and gratitude for people who have done things for you in your life. And I gotta say, like, I think I'm not great about being grateful. And these two celebrations pull me back and force me to think about those things that, like, I wouldn't be who I am and where I am absent the gifts that I've been given by so many people.
Well, what I was very happy about and grateful in that celebration is that I didn't have to have a horrible milkshake like the one that I just had.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about gratitude and you get all ingratiful. You become ingracious about the milkshake you just had? No. Is this like when Lou gets serious, Chava has to be silly? Is that what we're doing?
No, at all. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize, Lou. But what I have to say, though, is I was very grateful for the great agave spirits that we had on the table that day.
Oh, my goodness,
yeah. We had so much amazing agave spirits that day.
Which is another beautiful thing, right? Is it gives you the opportunity, to have beautiful agave spirits, because you just go and you buy them by the liter and you've got all these things to taste. So even if the turkey is horrible, if you've had enough to drink before you start eating...
And not even that, really. If you fail at your turkey enterprise plan project, you can literally just run to the first taco stand, buy a few kilos of meat, and you're saved.
You are. And and the other thing that you can have on your Thanksgiving table that you can't have if you're not having it in Mexico is pulque. And
in this case, they came to our door to offer us pulque. That was insane. Some lady just like made some very specific strange sound, and they walk outside and she's like, pulque? I was like, sure, how many liters do you have? And then I thought I was being all like smart and savvy, asking from half agua mia, half pulque. And she's like, yeah, campechano. I got your kid. And she's like,
wait, but she called it campechano?
Yeah.
When you mix the two?
Yeah, campechano.
Have we ever used that before?
No, but you know what campechano means, right?
No.
Campechano is a type of taco that will be mixed meats, on a taco.
Hang on a second. Like, so is this a term that pulque... God, this was not supposed to be about this in this episode, but is this a term pulque people use that we've just never noticed before?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at that reveal. Well, so that's one reveal. The other reveal is... The next time that we have a Thanksgiving in Mexico...
We're going to do a poster?
No. Well, yes, that would actually be really beautiful, because I can just imagine what Chema would do with that. But no, what we're going to do is we're going to have pumpkin spice pulque.
Oh, I know.
And with that, I think we conclude this episode.
Yes, please. Out.
Okay.
Before you have any other not fortunate ideas.
Well, before we go, right, yeah. Chava?
What?
I'm sincerely grateful for you.
You're looking at me very strongly and intensively.
That's
I'm
what
grateful
I do,
for
Chava.
You, Señor Lu. Sí, ya, y adiós.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lu Bank and Chava Peribán. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pitbulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food
world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends. And please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too. And listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.